Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, and it go a little something
like this.
Only 9 years old. She's trying to figure out why the world is so cold. Why she's all alone and they never met her family. Mama's always gone and she never met her daddy. Part of her is missing and nobody'll listen. Mama's on drugs, getting high up in the kitchen. Bringing home men at different hours of the night. Starting with some laughs, usually ending in a fight. Sneaking in a room when her mama's knocked out. Trying to have his way and little Lisa says ouch. She tries to resist but then all he does is beat her. Tries to tell her mom but her mama don't believe her. Lisa's stuck up in the world on her own. Forced to think that hell is a place called home. Nothing else to do but get some clothes and pack. She says she's about to run away and never come back.
Like this.
Only 10 years old. She said he's trying to figure why the world is so cold. Why she's not pretty and nobody seems to like her. Alcoholic stepdad always wanna strike her. Yells and abuses, leaves her with some bruises. Teachers ask questions, she's making up excuses. Bleeding on the inside, crying on the out. It's only one girl really knows what she's about. Her name is Little Stacy and they become friends. Promise that they'll always be tight till the end. Until one day Little Stacy gets shot. A drive-by bullet went straight up on a block. Now Nicole's stuck up in the world on her own. Forced to think that hell is a place called home. Nothing else to do but get her clothes and pack. She says she's about to run away and never come back.
Years old. She said he's trying to figure why the world is so cold. So she popped X to get rid of all the pain. Plus she's having sex with a boy who's 16. Emotions run deep and she thinks she's in love. So there's no protection, he's using no glove. Never thinking about the consequences of her actions. Living for today and not tomorrow's satisfaction. The days go by and her belly gets big. The father bails out, he ain't ready for a kid. Knowing her mama will blow it all out of proportion. Plus she lives poor, so no money for abortion. Erica is stuck up in the world on her own. Forced to think that hell is a place called home. Nothing else to do but get her clothes and pack. She says she's about to run away and never come back.
I can only imagine what you're going through, ladies. Sometimes I feel like running away myself. So do me a favor right now and close your eyes and picture us running away together. When we come back, everything's gonna be okay. Open your eyes.
Hey, you guys, welcome to another edition of Table Talk with T and Ronan. So I see everybody coming into the chat room and people calling in and holding on the line. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We got a lot of good things to talk about, good and bad, let's just say that. So this has been like a really crazy news week. It's to a point where I don't even like putting up a specific topic because stuff changes by the hour. And everybody right now is in the chat room talking about Florida. We have a lot of people from Florida that are in the chat room right now. And, yes, VH1 Access Florida is a hot damn mess right now. So what do you think about all the mess that's going on right now, Florida, Ronan?
I'm on my fifth bit of alcohol right now. And I think everything is really coming on out nowadays. People are still, while some people are still pissed off at, Obama got reelected, for some reason, now that we're supposed to have, like less than a month, that 2012 is supposed to happen, Project Stupid is in full effect. I honestly believe that.
Right, it's something going on. So if you guys haven't heard today, there was this whole situation. I had just put the video up, and it happened over the weekend. Basically, it was a 45-year-old white man named Michael Dunn. He was at a gas station, and he was waiting for his girlfriend to run up in the store and go get some goods or whatever. So as he's sitting in his car, a car full of teenagers, it was four kids, they pull up alongside him, and basically their music is just blasting. And he gets agitated, he gets out the truck, and he goes to go confront them and tells them to turn down their music. And basically, after that, an argument ensues. Because as we know how teenagers are, you're not just about to tell me anything, and really, who are you to come into my car and tell me to turn down my music? So they started arguing and going back and forth. He ends up pulling out a gun, and he ends up shooting into the car with these four kids 9 times, and he hit one of the kids 2 times. So basically, he left the scene and not even think about turning himself in until he found out that the kid was dead the next day. Then he turned himself into the police, and now he's trying to use the stand your ground law as his defense. And I think it's just utter and complete bullshit. When I first heard this story, I was upset because I'm like, first of all, people do stuff every day that irk me. From loud music to just behaving stupidly to just doing, just doing stupid stuff. But I don't have the right to just go up and confront people that I don't know, about some stuff that has nothing to do with me. Regardless if their music was loud, he could have waited for his girlfriend, and then they could have pulled off and went about their business. I feel like he did that just to provoke them and just to start something. And now this child has lost his life. So what did you think initially when you first heard the story, Ronan?
I was pissed off. It was cold-blooded murder. It was piss-poor conflict resolution. And it did have a hint of racial intent in there. With us growing up, we've heard people going and beating down the block. Some sound like cans rattling in a truck or, just outright people just going about the business, nothing. But for someone to just take a pistol and pretty much start some mess and then 9 shots.
Like right.
They didn't even call the police. They just got in the car and rolled off and then decided to want to turn stuff in when he found out. Killed him in cold blood.
I think part of it is he felt like he was going to be some type of hero because a lot of people put Zimmerman on this pedestal like he was some type of vigilante hero, and he's nothing but an ass. My thing is, why would you have to shoot into a car 9 times? Even if he was trying to make a point, shooting 1 time would have sufficed. I think that would have been enough to scare some teenagers, but to shoot 9 times and, thank goodness he didn't wipe out the whole car. 9 bullets, they all could have been killed.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he did that. I do feel like it was a racial issue. I feel like if it was white kids, he probably would not have confronted them for playing the music loud. And at the end of the day, it was not his place to go and confront the people that he didn't know. I mean, just think about it. When you go to confront somebody that you don't know, you never know their reaction. So what if they would have all pulled out a sawed-off shotgun and blew his head off, just for confronting them? So it's like you don't put yourself in unnecessary situations. Now, he has decided to plead not guilty today. So that came out. His lawyer is all over the news trying to defend him. His daughter's on the news crying, talking about her dad's not racist and he would never purposely kill anybody. He's saying that the reason why he shot is because he saw a gun. So he said he saw a gun and they had threatened to shoot him, supposedly. But the police said when they got there, they didn't see a gun. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't a gun, because, I know how dudes are, especially if you're in the street. That doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't a gun. But the point is, regardless if there was a gun or not, You put yourself in a situation. You provoked a situation that did not need any provoking. He could have sat in his car, waited for his girlfriend to go get her snacks or whatever the hell she was trying to buy. You know what I'm saying? Or not even that, he could have just drove his car up a few, you know what I'm saying, a few feet away so that way he wasn't right next to the blast of music. You know, so I'm not buying it. I just think it's a bunch of nonsense.
No.
And VH1 Access is acting in the chat room. He's saying, why was he carrying a gun in the first place? A lot of people are saying that to unload 9 bullets into a car, you know, why would you think that nobody would get hurt or killed? So a lot of people feel like there was an intent behind that. And supposedly he was coming back from his son or his daughter's wedding. But, again, why are you carrying a loaded pistol with you if you're coming back from a wedding? You know, why is it on you? So I feel like he just wanted to provoke a situation. I do feel like there's still a lot of racial tension with the whole presidential election. You have a lot of people who are still pissed off that Barack Obama is president. So I just feel like there's definitely some type of racial some racial tension behind this whole shooting.
Well, they are putting it out there in the chat room, and you're definitely right. You start wondering, where are the gas station cameras? Where are the, you know, where's the other, any witnesses or any admissible evidence that's being put out there, unless they're trying to clean that up. And it is long past over for the so-called post-racial America, because now they're letting it all hang out. You got people running around in blackface. You had numerous people talking about they want to assassinate the president. You know, just, again, this whole stand your ground law not only does it need to be revised, something really needs to take place now, because everyone wants to use that as a catch-all phrase, you know, just to say their ass. It's getting old. It's really getting old, really old.
And don't get me wrong, I'm all for defending yourself. I'm all for the Second Amendment. I don't see anything wrong with having a gun, you know, as long as you know how to use it. You know, protect yourself in the event of danger if somebody comes into your home to harm you. But, you know, when you're purposely going out to go, quote unquote, catch somebody in the act, or, you know, you're trying to play vigilante, I don't agree with that. And that's the same thing Zimmerman did. You know, regardless of the situation, regardless if Trayvon Martin whooped his ass or not, you proceeded to pursue this dude after the police people, the 911 dispatchers, told you not to. You know, so it's almost like everybody's trying to be like that cop. There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Some people just need to fall the hell back. The shit is ridiculous.
Well, see, you need to help me understand something. How does the stand your ground law apply when you left your vehicle, knocked on theirs, and you fired 9 rounds into their vehicle and went back to your car? What were you standing your ground for?
Right.
How's that?
I don't agree with it at all. I just think it's a bunch of nonsense. You know, like you said, people are trying to use that law as a scapegoat. You know, it's like, well, I live in Florida and we can stand our ground, but, you know, it needs to be clear and concise. You can't just say because you fear for yourself. I've been in situations like real talk when I've been coming back from, let's say, a club or a party, or I'm walking to my car and it's late at night, or just, you know, just whatever. And, you know, I've had an uneasy feeling. I've walked past somebody and been like, damn, you know, he kind of creeps me out or she kind of creeps me out. Just because you have a feeling or you feel weird about something does not mean that you have the right to pull out your 9mm and just, you know, go open season on somebody.
Right.
You know, you can't just assume somebody's going to hurt you. Like, they have to literally, you know, put the threat out there. You can't just assume these people have guns or these people are going to hurt me, so I feel threatened, so now I'm going to go ahead and start blasting. And I think that's what that standard ground law is doing, and it's giving people, you know, they're feeling they have the right to go out here and just purposely harm people and then run behind that law. And it's not just white people doing it, because there's been cases of a few black people who have gotten off on that standard ground law as well. So, you know, there's other races who are using that law to their advantage. So to me, the whole situation is just, you know, it's really disturbing, and it's definitely not needed.
Well, you know, with the statutes currently in hand, it's turning people into free mass vigilantes, and they really need to tighten this shit up, personally.
Right. It looks like we have somebody on the line. Looks like they have a hand up to ask the question. Area code 253. 253, you're on the air with Table Talk with T. Do you have a question?
Hey, T.
Hey, who is this? Your phone's going in and out. Hello?
It's Mr. Green.
We can barely hear you. Your phone's going in and out, sweetie.
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green, okay. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
That's good. So what did you want to add to the discussion?
Oh, I was going to talk about the 13-year-old.
The girl who killed her little sister?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely jump on that topic. Let me just kind of break it down for those in the chat room who may not know the story, the back end of it. Basically, there's this 13-year-old girl, and she was supposed to be babysitting her six siblings. And basically, supposedly, a neighbor caught a boy at the house and put the boy out the house, and the girl got scared that her little sister was going to tell her parents, and she ended up stabbing her 2-year-old sister to death and then threw her body off the balcony. After she did that, the little girl proceeded to change her clothes and then basically go with the search party to go look for her little sister that she had just killed. So it's just a really disturbing case that just didn't sit well with me, and I had made a video about it yesterday. So what did you want to go ahead and say about that particular topic, Mr. Green?
Oh, yeah, well, it's crazy because I'm the girl's age, and, like, because I watch her videos, and I'm a fan of it, and so I watched the video, and it wasn't really six siblings, it was only four, and then I think the siblings, I read the story, and they said there were two, three, four, and five, I think, and, like, I don't know, like, killing the baby, because I'm in junior high, and I've heard stories about, like, girls, like, killing people, like, over, like, boys and stuff, but, like, why would you want to kill your 2-year-old sister? She can't even talk.
Right. You know, and that's what didn't make any sense to me, because if the little girl was initially caught by her neighbor, wouldn't you be more worried that your adult neighbor is going to tell your mom and dad? You get what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't even matter if the little, like, you see, you know what I'm saying? Like, the neighbor was the one who caught her and the little
yeah.
boy, right? So
yeah.
wouldn't it make more sense that she'd be more concerned about the neighbor telling her parents as opposed
yeah.
to the 2-year-old? You know, that's
yeah.
why I didn't understand. That's why I said the story makes no sense. If you've already been caught by an adult, why would you not be more concerned about the adult telling on you as opposed to the little girl who can't talk? You know,
why
and,
she even
so
having,
what did you think? Mm-hmm.
Oh, why was she even having sex anyway? Like, I mean, I know
me
kids
too.
Do stuff, but when, you know, little kids are there. Walking,
right.
you know, she ain't been doing it.
So
well,
what,
she's probably going
think?
Through some issues. Yeah, yeah,
right.
I'm
so
sorry.
What do you think, being that you're her age, what do you think about babysitting? Because a lot of people are saying that, you know, with too many kids and she's too young to babysit. And like I said in my video, I've been babysitting since I was 10. You know, so
well,
do you feel like 13-year-olds shouldn't babysit?
Well, it's a good age because I know a lot of kids, you know saying, I have friends that they babysit for money, and I have a 10-year-old sister. And I babysit her, like, all the time because my mom has to work. She's a single parent, and she can get out of hand sometimes, you know, you get annoying. And but after
right.
that, you got to take that responsibility to help out. It may be unfair,
right.
but you got to do it.
Right, and that's how, you know, that's how I looked at it, too. Like, it used to make me kind of mad when I was younger because it's like, dang, I'm always stuck babysitting my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are not my kids. Like, I couldn't spend the night at nobody's house. I couldn't go to birthday parties because my parents worked on the weekend. So
yeah.
it's like I was always stuck babysitting, you know. But like you said, you do have to help your family out, and that in no way excuses you killing your brother or sister just because you have to babysit, you know. So
and
what
how
did
the neighbor know that the baby was, like, how she just, like, wind up over at their house? I think
right.
she was babysitting them.
That's why I
she
feel like the story just makes no sense. Right, I feel like the
mm-hmm.
story makes no sense because that's what I was saying in the video is, why are you so concerned with their household across the street? That's
yeah.
like my neighbor coming over here, you know, trying to go through my closet to see if my son has a girl in the house. But, I mean, did they put her in charge? Was she supposed to be watching the kids? It's like it just didn't make any sense. How did she know that the little boy was over there? And then if that's the case, if it's to the point where the little girl was always sneaking boys over and having sex, why are the parents leaving her alone with these kids? If anything, she really needs to be supervised if she'd been caught before.
And it's sad because, you know, the family's affected by it, and the other little kids, I'm sure they probably saw the body, and, you know what I'm saying, and plus the girl who did it, she you know, since she has to live with that, she's going to have nightmares.
Right.
It's going to come back to haunt her.
So what did you think about the father's demeanor? Because a lot of people said that the father just seemed too cool for school. Like, he just seemed real cool and nonchalant, you know, and I don't want to tell anybody how to mourn, but his interview just kind of seemed, he was just too laid back for a lot of people.
Because my cousin, he passed away last year, and his mom, she was, like, just all out, and then after a while, she just kind of, like, calmed down. You know, she would, tears would come out of her eyes, but she was just, like, sort of calm after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that was the little girl's, the girl who did it, that was her stepdad. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that's what people were saying, that it seemed like the stepfather was more concerned about his stepdaughter as opposed to his real daughter that was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people were taking it different ways, you know, as far as his demeanor, and he was just so matter-of-fact about it, you know, and it was just like no one really seemed too distraught. It was just weird. It was just something about that story that just didn't sit well with me, and I just feel like there's more coming out.
I don't want to, like, put nothing, but I think the I don't want to say nothing, but, like, I think the stepdad, he probably molested the stepdaughter. I mean, she was, you know, she's bringing sneaking boys in the house, having sex. She's not just going to do that for no reason.
You know what? And a lot of people are saying that.
Yeah. And
what,
he just,
what else were you saying?
Yeah.
No, you were saying that the little girl had something else?
Oh, no, no. I was just saying, I think he, like, I'm not sure, but I think he probably did molest. Because he was just seeing
right. I've heard that, you know, as well, you know, especially with her being so young and, you know, sneaking the little boy in and sleeping with him and everything else. People were saying that maybe he's trying to play it off. And
yeah.
Because he may have did something to the little girl and he doesn't want the little girl to tell. Or maybe he feels guilty because he left the little girl with all these kids, and technically she shouldn't have been watching that many kids at her age. So, you know, it could be a wide range
mm-hmm.
of reasons
yeah.
as far as why that's happening. You know, but it's definitely a disturbing story, and it's really, really crazy. Ronan, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
So,
and,
so what were you thinking when you initially heard the story?
A lot of things came to mind. What came to mind first was, like, the possibility of a molestation or it's like civil rivalry going too far. You know, I'm thinking, like, yeah, you know, like, kids going back and forth, especially when a young kid sees, like, somebody who's not supposed to be, like, down telling. So in order to find her, she knew what she did. But it's just something, I feel something is missing in this, you know, with the father's response. It's like, again, it's just something is just not quite right about this. It isn't. And that's the thing that really irks me right there. It's like, I got a strong feeling that there's some missing parts of this that we haven't even touched on yet. So, you know, outside of everything I've been seeing, I'm not quite sure to make of it, but it's just something that irks me about it. Like, seriously.
Right.
Oh, well,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you can finish.
Oh, no, I was saying one of the people in the chat room, Jamal, he's saying that it's not unusual for 13-year-olds to have sex. He said when he was in middle school, there was a chick in his class that was pregnant. And,
yeah.
You know, and that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew girls who were pregnant at 13. One of my friends growing up, she had a baby at 13 and whatever. So, yeah, it's not odd, but, you know, that's not the ideal situation that you want for your 13-year-old. Because a lot of kids, when they're that young, you're not old enough to deal with it. But what kind of bothers me is the fact that she's 13 and she's having sex, you know, because, you know, it's not her father, you know. So is the stepdad messing with her? Is there more to the story? You know, was it really a little boy in the closet? Was it an older man, you know? So
yeah. What
do you think about teens your age, you know, having sex? Do you think that they're mature enough to handle that situation?
Well, yes and no, because I've done a few stuff with a few girls, and it's, you know, I'm still a virgin, but yeah, it's kind of, because I know kids who, like, because I, and we be in the locker room, you know how boys talk, right?
Right.
Yeah, and like said, oh yeah, I did this with this girl, and yeah, and she was all this, and she was all that, and you know they talk about stuff like that, but it's not unusual.
Right, and I think especially like with y'all's generation, you guys are just so much more grown. You know,
yeah.
Like the younger kids. And we spoke about this last week, you know, because a lot of people were talking last week about how old they were when they had lost their virginities and how people regretted it and wish they would have waited and things like that. But, you know, and it's natural for a kid to be curious. You know, I don't think we should ever. That's why it kind of bothers me that she was so scared she was going to get in trouble. So what kind of trouble you going to get in? Granted, it's not an ideal situation. Nobody wants to walk in on their child having sex. You know I don't. But again, why did she feel so terrified that she felt the only way out was to stab her 2-year-old sister to death? You know, what kind of trouble was she going to be in if her parents found out that she had snuck a little boy in the house? Like, okay, you might get grounded. You may not be able to play, you know, Xbox for a month. You may not be able to go to the school dance. But then after that, you know, life goes on. But now her life is not going to go on, you know?
Oh, T, because I have a friend. And she told me something about, because when she was about 8 or 9, she said her stepfather would molest her. And she told me, she said that she would like boys. And she said she had had a boy over and that she had kissed him. And her stepdad had walked in on it. And so, you know, the mom, you know what I'm saying, they punished her. But she said that the stepdad, he got so angry for some reason. And he started yelling at her saying, "You can't. Boys over here," and he raped her, and the mom,
yes.
And then the mom walked in on it, and he ended up going to prison for 13 years.
Dang.
Yeah, so so mad and jealous
about another little boy.
Yeah, another little boy.
And how old was she when this happened?
About 8 or 9. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, but my thing is that should have raised flags for the mother, for her daughter to be comfortable at 8 or 9 sneaking a boy over and messing around with the boy. That tells you right there that your daughter is being messed with.
Oh, and I also want to talk about. Oh, hello.
Yeah, hello.
I'm here.
Yeah, hang up the phone. Sorry, that's my little sister.
That's okay.
Oh,
I
also I also want to talk about the, you know, the Amanda Todd situation. I know it's kind of off topic.
Oh no, that's fine. We could definitely go there. We have another hour. Let's get
Cause, in. Because I can relate to this story because I know another girl, and she was going out with one of my best friends, and she had put a video up on Facebook of her twerking. And she got so many views, and then guys are calling her a whore. Next day school, she came over. She was crying to me. She said, "Oh, I don't know what to do because my friend had dumped her because all of his boys were clowning him." And I said, "Why would you want to do that? Like, yeah, you got your little 2 minutes of fame, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody in school has seen your video, but look where it's got you."
Right.
Kids were making fun of her. Yeah, I was like, just brush that on yourself.
You know what? I'm glad I got you on the show because I always wonder, you know, what is going on with the younger kids who put the videos up on YouTube?
People trying to fit in.
Right. We see the videos, you know, people my age, Ronan's age, we just talk shit. Like, these little fast girls. But I always think, like, well, what happens when they go to school? Like, because, you know, your teachers can run across the video and, you know, people who like you, people who don't like you, and then on top of that, they can go online and then comment on the video, you know, and say all types of hurtful things. So basically you're telling us that everything that glitters ain't gold. So basically these girls who are putting these videos on, they're not necessarily becoming, like, you know, the most popular grad school. Some people are really clowning them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I never even looked at it like that. I always thought they did it to become, you know, because they were getting popular or whatever. But it makes sense that, you know, other kids would be making fun of them for that. So what did she end up doing? Did she take the video down or was it just...
She took it down and then kids were still clowning her. And she was talking about killing herself. And I was like, don't do that. Because she brought a knife to school and She's about to cut herself in the bathroom. I was like, you need to really take a seat somewhere. Calm down. It's not that serious. That will go away pretty soon, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Yep, that's one thing. You know, I guess it's different with y'all's generation because, you know, stuff is on the internet. And sometimes I think about, you know, when we were growing up, if we had the internet and stuff like that, you know, it probably would have been a lot worse because regardless of her deleting the video, people had that video downloaded to their computers. People don't take screenshots.
Yeah, downloaded,
you know,
on
the
their phones.
Right. The video's never going to go away. So I think the only thing we can do is teach kids to just make smarter decisions. And because you've been through that, now you can teach your little sister. You know, when she becomes 13, 14, and she sees those videos on YouTube, because you have a friend who went through that similar situation, you can let her know, like, you know, you don't want to go down that route because this is what can happen. So that's why I would say sometimes, you know, learning from other people's mistakes is the best experience because you don't necessarily have to go through those same mistakes. You know, and it helps you out in the long run. So, but yeah, that situation is really unfortunate. I'm glad she did not kill herself, you know, and I just don't understand. You know, it's easy to say that this generation is weak and they don't know how to take bullying and stuff like that, but I just don't like the fact of the media glorifying it either. You know, I think suicide is a private thing. You know, that's why most people commit suicide. I don't think that people who commit suicide should be putting on some type of pedestal and, you know,
made to
be famous. You know, I think they need to make the people famous, the ones who got through bullying, the ones who were picked on relentlessly, but they made something of themselves. I'd much rather see their story than to hear about a girl jumping in front of a train. You know, I just can't get with all these suicide stories because, to me, it's starting to be like monkey see, monkey do, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, did you hear about that Elmo thing? That with the dude?
I heard that there's now three accusers.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You know what this reminds me of?
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's a third one done came out now.
Yeah?
And he's saying that he was getting drunk.
What? I'm talking to Daddy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're going to put him on hold. We gotta remember he's only 13, so his mom's like, who are you talking to? We're going to place him on hold. But thank you so much for calling. It was cool to hear from the young folks. I love getting their opinions because I always get their emails. So I'm really glad he called in and he enlightened us with a lot of stuff. He might as well be a co-host. He was leading the show. He was like, okay, well, the next topic is, I know that's right. I'm not mad at him. But, yeah, it's three accusers now. Everybody's in the chat room talking about it. It's three accusers. The third one is saying that he had been messing with him since he was 15 and that he was getting drunk. So, I mean, it's just not looking good. It's just not looking good at all for Mr. Clash. You know, but, again, I blame Mr. Clash because at any point in time, he could have got with a grown gay man, but he chose to go mess with little 18 and under, you know, type kids. And he put himself up for that. He put himself up for these lawsuits. He put himself up for, you know, for things to come back to haunt him. You can't mess with somebody that young and ignorant, point blank, period.
I agree with that. This is just disturbing. I thought two was enough, but now you got a third one. I'm just throwing my hands up. I'm done.
I mean, I'm just like, poor Elmo. And then he said something about he used to tell him, what did he say? He used to tell him to tickle his stuff. I was like, now y'all getting stuff off the blog. He used to play a game, and he'd be like, Elmo says, tickle my stuff. I'm like, well, these accusers, they need to get a life. I'm going to need them to get their life. They doing too much.
I'm not even, because I could do it, but they're still fucked up.
I would never be able to look at Elmo the same. I swear I would never be able to look at Elmo the same, period, point blank. It's too much. Looks like we got another person calling in from area code 408. 408, I'm going to go ahead and open up your line. Area code 408, you've reached Table Talk with T.
Hey, T. This is Megan. I'm calling from California.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Fine. So about the Elmo thing, Kevin Clash, I think he needs to go to jail. Sorry, but you need to take your ass to jail. you're a pedophile. What are you doing messing with these kids? And I'm not saying that they're right, but you're an authority figure. You're 40 years old, over 40, messing with kids. Mm-mm. You're a pedophile, man. You need to go to jail. Sorry.
I know that's right. You're not saying nothing but the truth. You know, when the first accuser came out, I really tried to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I'm like, you know, this guy just wants money. It's not right. But when he admitted to sleeping with the dude at 18, then that made
right.
me kind of look at him funny because I'm like, okay, hold up. You was married. You know, when all this
exactly.
went down, you were legally married to your wife. So,
right.
one, he was BL. He was messing with, you know, guys young. Young, way younger than him, but I believe it. You know, the stories, it's different people come up with stories. Granted, they all could be in cahoots, they all could be lying, but it's just
exactly.
not a deal for him.
It doesn't, and it's sad, but because he has money, I don't think he will even serve any time in jail, to be honest with you.
Right.
Like R.
Oh,
Kelly,
yes, you're right.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to jail for what? I have money? No.
Right, and unfortunately, that's how it is in our societies. If you have money, you're good. Let
right.
me ask you this question, because me and Ronald was talking about this earlier. Did you hear what Will Smith supposedly did for T.I.?
No.
Anything about that? Okay,
uh-uh.
So this is the story. Will Smith was interviewed recently, I forgot by what magazine, and he said that when T.I. was going through his case, when he got caught with all that lean in California and ecstasy
uh-huh.
pills, him and Tiny, he said that he called President Barack Obama and Eric Holder to try and get T.I. a pardon. And I'm just
wow.
like, what? Like, how is that okay for you to call the president to try and get him a pardon on something that he's guilty of doing? He was caught with lean. He was caught with ecstasy. Why should he not be, you know, be eligible to serve time like anybody else? If that was me, my black ass would have been locked up for at least 5 years, you know, but
yeah.
he gets a year
right.
and a day. You know, so
right.
you're right. It's definitely for money. It's about status. And if you have money, you can definitely buy your way out of jail, which
if,
is unfortunate.
If you have money, you buy your way out of all kind of situations. I'll give you a quick example. It's about my brother. Now, my father, he's dead now, but he was a prominent attorney in Indiana. But he also was the president of Indiana State Bar Examiners. These are the people that make up the bar exam every year for so-called lawyers. Well, they're not lawyers. They're in third year of law school. They take the bar. If you pass, you become a lawyer. My brother was over the county of Indiana, and he was transporting drugs over the county line. Now, that's a federal offense, point blank. My brother
mm-hmm.
never went to jail, ever.
Wow.
What he was, what they told him, you cannot leave the state of Indiana for a year. And he had to pay some restitution. This fool is still walking around free as a bird, still doing shit.
Dang.
It's who
do
you know, and if
along.
You have money. Oh, hell no. No. I'm in California. He's in Indiana. He stay in Indiana. But
right.
what I made that point to say
mm-hmm.
it's wrong. If you have money, you buy your way out of everything. It's not right. I don't agree with it. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely
right at all.
Agree with you. You know,
not
and,
right at all.
And that's how it is, and people are tired of that. You know, look at Lindsay Lohan. You know, she
oh
doesn't ever be time in jail. You know, she's been arrested how many times? You know, caught with drugs, you know,
right.
all types of stuff. And it's unfortunate because us regular people, if we get caught with something or, you know,
right.
if we don't have connections like your brother has, you know, the connection in Indiana, you know, they throw the book at you.
Right.
You know, so
and
it's
all
crazy.
Based on who my father was and what he did for the state of Indiana. I'm like, that's bullshit. This dude should be in jail, period. Anybody else will be in jail under a jail. That's a federal offense, period.
Right. Yeah, it's really unfortunate because you have a lot of people, you know, like in California, now they're trying to get rid of that three strikes law because it was
right.
so unjust. You know, you have
right.
people, if you get caught for the third time, even if you're still in a pair of socks, you can do life in prison. And, you know, it's easy
right.
to say, okay, well, shit, just don't steal it. Just don't do dirt. Yeah, that's the easy thing to say, but some people, you know, end up in certain situations where they feel like that's the only way that they have to turn. It doesn't mean that they should be able to be forced to do life in prison either. So I
right.
definitely
they,
think that it needs they, to justify the ends and to justify the means.
Yeah, they changed that law, so that's no no longer valid. What is valid is they tried to get rid of the death penalty on this last proposition. That didn't go well. They didn't win that. We still have the death penalty.
Oh, so they still have that for this three strikes?
No, they got rid of it.
Okay.
What else we were voting for is a proposition, I can't even think of, it's 38 or something, where they were asking, did we want to get rid of the death penalty? And I was like, no. I don't think so.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, right. Yeah, this whole situation is nuts. So what did you think about the situation with the little girl, the one we were just talking about with the other gentleman?
That story is very fishy. There's a lot of clues. There's a lot of stuff missing in that story. Just a lot of things that don't make sense. The neighbor, the father, I saw him on an interview. Something's not adding up. I'm not saying that the little girl didn't do it, but I think it's more to the story that we haven't heard yet.
Right. And that's how I felt when I first heard it. I'm like, this. Something doesn't make sense. Something doesn't sit well with me with the story. You know,
she went after the 2-year-old and not the 6-year-old, and she didn't go after any of her friends. I'm like, I'm not saying she didn't do it once again, but the story has a lot of holes in it. A lot of holes.
You are definitely right
about
that.
It's sad that these kids today, I don't know, they grow up fast, and I didn't grow up like that. I mean, my father would give me the death stare, and I'll just start crying. I mean, that's all he had to do was look at me, and that was my punishment, the look, and I started crying. I sent myself to my own room to punish myself. It was never, you know, this craziness that these kids are doing now. I don't know. It's really crazy.
Right, but, you know, the sad part is it's not just the kids. You know, now you have the adults who are just, you know, off the chain. Like we were talking about earlier, I had just made a video, you know, just all the stuff that's happening in Florida. And, Ronald, we were talking about that right before we got on the show. And basically, you know, you have the couple, the lady who beat up her boyfriend because her boyfriend, you know, didn't bring her to climax. You know, so then these are grown people, 24 years old. So it's like we're not setting no type of example for the younger generation. So it's like if the younger generation is messed up, we have nobody to blame but ourselves.
Yeah, you have a lot of, I used to work in a psych hospital. You have a lot of young parents, and their kids are all on crack because they were on it, and we were dealing with a large population, and these youngsters are crazy as hell. They're on these bath salts, this crystal meth. It is crazy. Really crazy, especially in California. I mean, Florida, they do have problems, but California has them too. You guys just haven't heard a lot about it, but, ooh, it's pretty bad up here too. Not as bad as Florida, though, but, yeah, California got a lot of crazy people. I mean, we voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger twice. Not that I did, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, California's off the chain, but you're right. No, nothing tops Florida. Period, point blank, nothing tops Florida. So thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
You brought up a lot of good points. I appreciate it, and thank you for supporting the show.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we have a lot of callers. I see there's an 803 trying to get in, too. I'm going to let you in just a moment. We have a lot of people calling in. So I see Danica's in the chat room. But, yeah, it's crazy. We were talking about that. If you guys have not heard, I just put the video up. Basically, the backstory is there's a 24-year-old woman. Her and her man were having sex, and basically he got his, and she did not get hers. So because he did not make her climax, she got so pissed off that she beat the brakes off his man, whooped his ass, everything. He ended up calling the police on her. The police got there. She was still so mad that she didn't, you know, climax, that she ended up, you know, hitting on the police as well. So now they're trying to charge her with a felony. And, of course, this happened in Florida, ratchet-ass Florida, not shot. So it's definitely a trip. You know, like I said, a lot of times we like to look at the younger generation and say, you know, this generation is messed up and what's wrong with these young kids who are, you know, 13 or 18. But look at our generation. You know, you got, like they say, they got the killer, the titty killer. she's trying to smother her dude with breasts. You know, so that was crazy. What did you think about that whole story with the lady beating up that man because he didn't make her climax?
Where do you really begin? I've been in situations where I've had partners where I feel like it would be the right thing to shoot them because of how bad the sex was, but never took it this far. I think it was a little too much. Wow, this is just fucking hilarious.
I mean, my thing is this. If the sex is that bad, at some point in time, you need to just end the relationship.
Well,
of course, talk about it. Explain to that person what you like. And if they're still not willing to, you know, to experiment or, you know, meet you halfway, then it's time to check the deuces. Don't nobody got time to be beating up on people and hitting people over the head with frying pans because they didn't come. I ain't got time for that.
I agree with you on that because communication is key. And it brings a bunch of questions here because, like, you know, this isn't her first go around, so she done had this a few times. And obviously, if someone's that selfish, you know, then you might need to move to another partner. But for some reason, there has to be something else extra to this because, again, if it's like that, there'd be a whole lot of abuse cases out here.
For every time somebody didn't get satisfied, they just get to whoop your ass.
The thing is, like, how many dicks has she really juggled to get pissed off like that? I mean, it's just, I'm scratching my head on this one because as funny as it is, it doesn't really have to take all that. I mean,
like everybody in the chat room saying, crazy ass Florida, he must be really that bad. Supposedly, it only lasted 2 minutes. It lasted 2 minutes, and I mean, I guess that's enough to frustrate anybody. But I mean, okay, it lasted 2 minutes, and you just know for the next time he ain't getting it ever again. You don't beat him up.
Well, here's the thing that most people don't talk about, T, is like some people go longer than 2 minutes, and there are some sex out there that you wish would hurry up and get over with, but it, for some reason it doesn't. So, you know, after a while, you know, either you've been, you know, had your pussy beat to shreds, or you know, you didn't have your meat worn raw and you went over with and they want to keep going, you've had it. I mean, just either you push them off of you or I just never got into a whole fight because of sex.
It's crazy, you know, and I mean, sex can be an important part of a relationship, you know, so I think how they combated this was communication. My thing is, if he's that, how you even mess? Because I'm sure this was not the first time they've ever had sex. But they're like, she was just so upset. She was just, it was like the final straw. It was the straw that broke the camel's back.
But here's the whole thing. It's like, you got books, you got videos, you got, training aids or something to that effect. Like, you know what, we're going to fix this problem and be done with it. But obviously, you know, the communication is terrible because it's, you just don't get up and beat the shit out of a dude because you didn't get yours.
Right.
Wow.
Everybody's saying that they believe that she might have been on something. Well, again, like VH1 Access says, yeah, she might have been on something, and this is Florida. It could be a basketball situation. You never know. We know that y'all love y'all basketballs in Florida. Yeah, that happened in Florida.
I'm canceling my trip to Florida right now, for real.
I thought Florida was actually, everything happens in Florida.
Y'all doing too much shit right now.
But now they want to talk about in the chat room, the 187 double D's. Jamal is such a mess. With the lady who tried to kill her boyfriend with her boobs because she was upset that he was doing better than her in life. His career was going good. He went to law school. He did what he had to do, and she was just flipping burgers at Burger King, I guess. So she was upset that he was doing better than her, so she tried to kill him. Basically, she's saying that that's not what happened. It was just a night of rough sex. He was saying that she really tried to smother him with her boobs. But I don't know. You know, the story is funny as hell to me, but I just feel like, you know, did it really happen? Or is he trying to over-exaggerate? You over there cracking up.
I've heard of crazy things, but now I'm going to be looking crazy when I get a hug or something. I'm just going to be a little bit nervous, especially if, you know, she got double D's or something. Because this is, okay, how do you smother somebody with your titties intentionally? And how does that look if you go in a room like you thinking they really get it in and she's trying to kill this dude?
I don't understand how weak the dude was when he couldn't just push her off. They said she won but 127 pounds, so how did she just hold your face in her boobs? Like, I'd have punched her on the side of the head. I mean, get away from her. Like, what the hell? This is life and death. Like, I don't understand how it got to the point where he was turning blue and she was smothering him so hard. And I can see she was a big woman, but from what they're saying is she's skinny. So I don't know. I didn't know boobs could do all that.
Well, I didn't know either. I mean, that's a whole other show. But still, if she's 125 pounds, I'm not sure how much this guy weighs or whatever, he should be able to, you know, remove her from his presence. But again, either he was drugged or something. I don't know.
Who would have thought weapons of mass destruction could be right in front of your chest? Who needs a knife? I don't need no knife. I don't need no pepper spray. Just grab the dude and just grab his face and just smother him. I would never thought about that. You find out something new every day. But you know what, though? VH1 said he's surprised it didn't happen in Florida. No, this was in Germany. So this was not even in America. This was a German case. There's a bunch of mess going on. So I'm going to go ahead and let area code 803 in. It looks like they've been on hold for a while.
Hello?
Area code 803. You're on the line with Taco T. Who is this?
Hi, this is Darla.
Hi, Darla. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying the night. You're having a good conversation with everybody here. What did you want to add to the conversation?
I've been listening since the show started, and I just wanted to say real quick, I really appreciate what you do. I subscribe to you on YouTube, and I liked you on Facebook, and I love to get, you know, your perspective on different things. I find you very entertaining and practical, and I love that. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you. That means a lot to me because I was always told I was a weirdo just because I don't really, you know, I was like the whole crowd, and I always had like my own kind of thought pattern. So that means a lot when, you know, people can kind of agree with where I'm coming from. We may not always agree on everything, but, you know, at least there's like that mutual respect.
And that's absolutely
something I like about my channel, and that's something I like about like my subscribers. Like, I learned so much from you guys, you know, believe it or not. Like, I read every comment, and, you know, sometimes you guys just have me cracking up in the comment section, and then just certain things, certain angles I don't think about, and somebody will write it up, and they'll be like, wow, okay, that's a really interesting, you know, angle to look at something from. So I thank you guys as well.
I appreciate it. Well, yeah, like I was saying earlier, I was listening to the conversation and everything earlier, and, well, I just kind of wanted to comment on a little bit of everything, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not a problem.
But the situation with the child who was shot in Florida, I just heard about that. A Facebook friend was commenting on it because I hadn't really been online or anything lately before that, and that is, like, so disturbing. But what scares me about this is, now, of course, you know, I grieve for the family. I think the situation is so senseless. It's like you can't really put a hold on it because it's like, what would possess anybody to do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. So it's really sad what happened, and I am sick of this whole vigilante mentality. I wish people would just mind their own business, you know, and roll their eyes and keep going like most people do when you hear people with loud music. That's annoying. You just kind of roll your eyes and you keep going. But I guess what I'm afraid of is gun laws kind of being attacked by it.
Right.
Because I feel like people use situations like this as an excuse to kind of take everybody's guns away. And just because you have a few idiots doesn't mean that everybody who has a conceal and carry permit or who owns guns is going around trying to, you know, do stupid shit, you know, because my husband and I, we just purchased, he got a rifle and I got a handgun, and they basically stay in the house with us because I'm tired of reading crazy stories, crazy people. Anybody comes in our house breaking, they're going to have some serious trouble. They're going to get willed out.
And you're right. You know what? It's more and more people, and I agree with you. And I said I want to take some firearm classes. Me and my guy have been talking about doing that, you know, because it's to the point now where it's like sometimes you don't even feel safe in your own neighborhood, let alone your own home. And people just don't care anymore. And I think you're definitely right. It's more and more just regular everyday people, you know, housewives and people who work and, you know, who are now trying to get their conceal and carry permit, you know, to get guns to protect themselves from these crazy people out here. And I definitely agree with you that every time there's a case like this, that's what people do. They crack down on the Second Amendment, and they say, well, see, if it wasn't for the guns, then this wouldn't happen. But it's not the guns, it's the people.
Right. It's people and their mentalities. And obviously, you know, guns are... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's like good to have you on the show. But, you know, it's good that, you know, you and your husband are being very responsible with the firearms at home for the, home protection. But you might, guys might want to look into as far as like self-defense type courses, you know, just as another measure of protection for yourself. You know, there's too many people trying to be Rambo when they shouldn't. You know, and, you know, it's very disturbing nowadays. All it takes for legislation is to have some incidents like this to, I guess, make a strong case to have them make legislation to take away our ability to defend ourselves. And after that, it's going to get very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, that's just really scary to me. It feels really violating the whole idea, you know, because like you said, T, it is people. And, I mean, we could take all the guns off the streets, and people could do what they did on 9/11 and use box cutters and knives. I mean, people still use knives and bats and, you know, crowbars and other things that will take you out, maybe not as fast as a gun will, but as surely, you know what I'm saying? And so it really bothers me. And, you know, I have taken self-defense classes, and my husband's in the Army, and we both know how to shoot, you know.
Oh, okay.
And I've thought about, like, all the scenarios and stuff. You know, I would be very hesitant to just, you know, grab my gun would not be the first option because I don't want to take anybody's life. But I will take someone's life if it means that I will lose mine or my child will lose theirs or my husband. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I just – but, yeah, that's what really bothers me about this. And I really hope this man, you know, really gets – the book thrown at him because it sounds like he kind of has some money and some influence and stuff like that. And I just hope that it doesn't end up being a situation where, you know, this young kid's life didn't really mean enough for him to have justice. You know what I mean? Situations like that just make me sick. So
yeah,
so
it's almost like he egged the situation on, you know, like he had no business confronting them about their music. You know, like we said earlier, people do stuff 24/7 that irritate me. But it's not my job to go up and go confront anybody because at the end of the day, you don't even know what that person that you're confronting, you don't know their mentality. They might pull out a gun and blow your head off. And all because why you want to confront them about something that really is just irrelevant. You know, at any point in time, he could have moved his truck. He could have parked on the other side of the gas station. Granted, the music probably would have still been loud, but at least he wouldn't have been right next to it. You know, always take yourself out of a situation. You can't ever control what somebody else is going to do, but you can only control yourself. And for him to take it into his own hands and think that it was okay to shoot 9 times into a car, I mean, that says a lot. And it obviously, to me, he was a very bad shot. For him to be shooting into a car and only shoot twice, I mean, only hit somebody twice and then the other people didn't get hit, you know, thank God. But it's almost like he just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Because most people
so
who are
reckless.
Really practical and good, it was very reckless. And most people who are good with guns, because he's saying he had the, you know, right to conceal and carry, and he's an avid gun person and all this stuff, most people who are good with guns can shoot. And if he was really in fear for his life, trust me, all 4 of them people probably would have been dead.
Right.
So I feel like it was just too reckless. It's almost like he just wanted to show, you know, show his, like, bravado. And just kind of intimidate these kids. And I highly doubt he probably would have did that if it was like an older group of guys, you know, his age that could, you know, take him on. He just felt like he wanted to be a tough guy to some teenagers.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, like you said, you know, he didn't have to do what he did, but he wanted a confrontation. Like, who goes up against four teenagers? You know a confrontation is about to happen. One man,
right.
Four teens. I mean, he that's what he wanted. That's
right.
Exactly what he wanted. And you know, and I don't like to pull the whole race thing out, but there is a certain white male disposition. And a lot of them, it seems like they tend to be very comfortable giving other people orders. And I'm sure with them being teens, it could have been like, oh, well, you know, what are you doing? You know, and I know that gun gave him more boldness. He knew that it
right.
was cool to do that because he knew he had a gun, just like George Zimmerman. I don't think he would have ever confronted Trayvon had he not had that gun with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so that does give
chat room. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you're not the cops, and them having their music loud, although it may be against the law, you're not going to give nobody a ticket, or you're not in a position to do any of that. So just mind your business and keep it moving. But he obviously wanted a confrontation. That's what scares me about certain people. It's like there's no rationale. And I know that when it comes to, especially like, you know, poor black young male life, there just seems to be no value to it at all. Black male life is so expendable. It's like that's how it's viewed. And I just really
right.
hope that he gets the punishment that he deserves, because he deserves to be in jail. He deserves to die in jail.
Well, he
you
definitely
know.
Deserves time. He definitely does deserve to go to jail. I mean, this situation makes absolutely no sense to me.
And to
all.
Die in jail. Like, he shouldn't ever
right.
come out. Because
right. now,
that
let
was
me
ridiculous.
Ask y'all. Let me ask y'all while we're on the topic of guns, because I was going to bring this up later on in the show in my notes. I don't know if you guys heard about the latest killing spree that happened in Chicago.
No.
So Chicago is another city that's just been off the chain that I've done videos on and stuff like that. But somebody has sent me some information that happened in Chicago. So basically what happened is that there was a funeral going on at a church. And there were over 500 visitors in this church for this funeral of some. The guy was a gangbanger, so everybody's in the church. They're mourning him, and some guy just walks in. I forgot what type of gun he had, and he has his eyes set on two targets. He ends up firing 10 rounds. He shot and killed one guy there right there in the church, and then he shot and injured another guy who's in really critical condition. Now, one of the guys, he's like a really big pastor in Chicago. He has a Twitter page, and he's really popular, and I can't think of his name right now. But when I saw him on the news, I mean, he just was so distraught. And what he was saying is to the point now where people are just so ruthless and people don't care anymore. And if you can't be safe in the house of God, the Magnificent Mob better watch out. You know, and it made a lot of sense. It's like, you know, if you can't be safe in a church, when people are willing to come into a church during a funeral and shoot it up just to prove a point, or just because they have a gun or just trying to take a life, you know, it just says a lot about where we're at right now as a society, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. You know, it's just the whole situation was just sickening when I read it, because you had babies, you had older people, you had people literally running for their lives. You know, so it was just really, really crazy. And, like, you're right. That's everybody's answer in Chicago. We'll just ban the guns, get rid of the guns. Chicago has one of the strictest gun laws in the country. People don't realize that. Chicago, New York. And there's still murders. You know what I'm saying? There's still killing. So it's not about legalizing or you know, getting rid of guns. It's the people's mentality. People are going to be able to get guns regardless if they have a permit to carry or not. People are going to be able
right.
to get guns.
It's
you know?
Kind of
so
like this whole, like, this texting thing. To me, taking away people's rights, like constitutional rights, and basic, I mean, the right to defend myself, the right to say what the hell is on my mind, is not a right that a man can give me. That's a God-given right. And so when you take those kind of things away from people, you're, like, acting like you're God, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because how can you say I can't defend myself? How can you own a weapon and then say I can't own it because I'm not mature enough? Like, we're not a bunch of elementary school kids. We're adults here. And basically, when you make laws more strict, like gun laws or whatever laws, what you're doing is you're putting an extra burden on law-abiding citizens, because people who don't care about the simple laws you have now aren't going to care about more strict laws because they don't care about the law. So the only people who are being punished by gun laws are people who actually abide by the laws. So
right.
It really doesn't make sense to make it more strict because most of the people who have these guns, I mean, come on now, they don't own these guns legally.
Right.
So, I mean, what? And the thing is, in states like where I purchased my gun, Tennessee, where the laws are much more fluid and you can pretty much bet that if you go into any regular store or whatever, you know somebody is concealing. You don't hear about
right.
mass crazy shootings in Tennessee.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you heard of something like that? So,
well,
I mean,
that's right. That's how it was in the Carolinas. Like, it's just different in the South. People just have their guns.
Right.
I mean, in the Carolinas, you can have your gun in your passenger seat, right there on the seat. You know, as long as it's in plain view of the police officer, it's just not a big deal. You walk through Walmart, people got their gun on their hip. You
right.
know, but up north, it's totally different, you know. But there, to me, there's way more killing and violence up north, you know,
it
than
is.
Opposed to down south. You know, and I think that's because it's almost like, you know, when you ban something and you make something illegal, that makes people want it even more. But because it's more open in the South, you know, as far as people having guns and gun culture, you know, you have a lot of kids who learn how to shoot at, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. You know,
right.
that's just part of the culture of the South. So
mm-hmm.
I think because it's so readily available, it's not a big deal. Whereas up north, because everything is so, well, you need a permit for this and, you know, it's illegal here and you can't have a gun, that breeds this underground market.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
and that mentality.
And you know, that whole scenario in Chicago that you were just talking about, something that came to my mm-hmm. mind is that I know that, you know, in a culture like Chicago or a place, because I kind of grew up a little bit around Detroit, so I know a lot
mm-hmm.
of people who, like, the whole gang culture is very familiar with them. You have family members who are in gangs and blah, blah, blah. But
mm-hmm.
I think whenever you go, there's a high-risk lifestyle. And if I had family members who I knew were in gangs, I wouldn't be, like, around them. You know what I'm saying? I think even attending a funeral, you know, as much as you may have loved that person, that's a risky behavior. Because you know other
you know
gang
what?
Members
you're right.
are there.
Right. You're right, because matter of fact, and, you know, it's not to put my business out there, but, you know, I'm just an honest person. And I don't know how long you've been on my Facebook, but like a year ago, my kid's cousin, he had gotten killed.
I remember
he had gotten killed.
That.
Right. So he got shot. It was a pretty big story. And he was pretty, you know, he was out there. You know, he was doing his thing, whatever. And you're so right about that. Because when we went to the funeral, when we was at the repast, you know, it was just so many people, you know, because it's the hood, it's the, you know, the family. Then you have, you know, his homeboys, and it was just so many people. You know, people I don't know, I don't deal with, I don't associate with. We're basically here to pay our respects, and
right.
that's it, you know, because he was a good cousin to my kids. So my kids, they don't know that other side of him. You know, that was their dad's cousin.
Wow.
So as we're leaving the funeral, you know, something just told me, you know, a time ago, it was just kind of getting kind of rowdy, a lot of people. So we left, and about 20 minutes after we left, one of the pallbearers, one of his friends, was him and his wife were shot and killed.
Oh, my God.
After the repast. You know, so within 20 minutes of us leaving, there was another shooting. You know, so you're definitely right about that. And I had to sit down and recollect, like, you know what, certain things are just not worth it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to put myself or my kids in danger because you can't control other people's actions.
Right.
You know, once I just felt a certain vibe, like it was just too many people, and, you know, after a while I didn't feel comfortable, it was just too many, you know, street folks, thugs, you know, people who are really out there like that you know from around the way. It's like, you know what, it's time to go. And shortly after
right.
that, it was like, you know, it got shot up. So it's crazy because, like you said, people, you know, have to be more smart. And if you're going to go to a funeral of a known gangbanger, of a known gang member, be prepared for people to retaliate because people don't care no more. People are going into the churches. People are waiting outside the repast. People are putting hits out on people, you know, for stuff like that. So it's a really sad and unfortunate situation, you know, and I definitely don't believe that guns should be banned because of that. You know, I just feel like this generation and you know, not, like I was saying earlier, it's easy to blame the younger generation and say these kids are all messed up. But like I always say, if these kids are messed up, who dropped the ball?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to say something about that, too, because I'm a social worker, and I've worked with a lot of kids who people write off and make it seem like, you know, their behavior or, you know, whatever is just so out of control. And I don't care what the child is like. You can always count their behavior back to either abandonment, abuse, you know, poor modeling. It always goes back to family. Like, kids are a product of the homes they come from. Like, you don't see good kids and bad kids. That does not happen on accident. And, you know, it really annoys me when I hear people talk about the kids of this generation, because the kids of this generation have parents.
Right.
I mean, who's raising them or not raising them? That's who's responsible. And, you know, it's always about the parents. And really, youth is no excuse, because parents today are older than they were in generations past. There were parents who hadn't even been out of their teens when they were done having children. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's not an excuse. I've worked with parents in their mid to late 20s, in their 30s. I've only had one teenage parent I've worked with, and I've been in this field for almost 7 years. And I've worked in a lot of different environments. Most of the parents I work with are in their mid to late 20s and up. And yes, some of them were young parents, but they were young parents 30 and 40 years ago. It's the mentality that people have. That's the problem, not their age. And age is not an excuse.
It's not just that. It's like the youth is really much as a factor, because back then the dynamics were a lot different. You had a tighter unit. You had you had mother, father, child. You had aunts, uncles, and on down the line you could, you know, gain some information, knowledge, and support from. Nowadays they don't have that anymore. It's not uncommon for, you know, a woman to be in her mid, maybe even late 30s, early 40s. Be a grandmother now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that some actually believe that, you know, I can be the mother and the father. I can pick an individual, either he's low class or just a sperm donor, to get what I wanted was a child and put him out. Or you just have a number of dysfunctional reasons that further fractures that power block, which is our family unit. And you got all this widespread chaos. If we actually rebuilt that back, I say a vast majority of these problems would be non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
definitely the family. Well, I mean, there are more single parents. Like, you know, they say the rate is like 70%. But the reality is there have always been single black parents.
Yeah.
Always. And I know a lot of people in my parents' age group, 50. My grandmother, she did it by herself. She's almost 80 years old. Well, actually, she's 82. you know, and she did it by herself. There are a lot of there have been a lot of single black women for generations, and, you know, from slavery. Of course, there are a lot more now, but I think it's a lot of different things. And honestly, I think a lot of things, like, you know, the welfare system, unemployment. I think there's been an attack on black men that black women in the black community has actually participated in and not really known it. You know what I'm saying? I think there are a lot of different things, but in all, I think expectations for people are different. Like, we'll be like, oh, he's 18 years old. He's 20 years old. You got 30-year-old men who still are addicted to video games. Like, expectations for certain age groups have gone down so far. And, like, you know, when my parents were in their teens and my grandparents, they were 19 years old on their own as grown adults. Making it happen by themselves, and, you know what I'm saying, and obviously inflation and unemployment have, you know, you can't, it takes longer to get established these days, but the expectations are so pitifully low that kids feel like they can screw around until they're 30, like, seriously.
Right. You're right, because I had a situation like that where somebody I knew, they were talking about, you know, like their grandson or whatever. You know how their grandson is mad at their mother because she hasn't been giving him money lately.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, how old is your grandson? I'm thinking maybe he's 14, 15. Oh, he's 19. He's a grown-ass man. Like, what you mean? Like, the mom is supposed to still give him money? I said, so why doesn't he have a job? Oh, well, he's going to school part-time. And that means what? I know people who go to school full-time and still work a full-time job.
Right.
But like you said, the expectations are so low. So because he's in, because he's 19 and he's in school part-time, taking three classes a week, that's too much for him to be expected to hold on the job. The mom is supposed to just hand him $100 a week, and then when she don't, she's a bitch. She ain't shit. Mm. You know,
wow.
But the mentality, that this crazy mentality that people owe you something. Nobody owes you anything in life. You know, point blank, period. People don't owe you nothing. If people choose to help you, people choose to look out for you, thank you, you're a blessing, I appreciate you, but nobody has to do anything, and that's the problem with our society is that we have this welfare, I call it the welfare mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We think everybody owes us something. You know, if it's not the government, it's the man down the street.
Right.
And that's
you know,
one thing that irritates, me about black people talking about race, because we don't know anything, really, about a struggle race-wise. We have no recollection of that at all. Like, okay, I've been in certain sides of town. I've been called a nigger online because ain't nobody said it to my face. You know, I've been in certain stores and people have been followed around. Okay, whatever. I've been followed by cops because they, you know, think I'm suspicious or whatever. But not being able to sit in a restaurant, not being able to live on a certain side of town, that's things that our grandparents dealt with. That was real life. Being harassed by cops,
right.
Threatened by cops, you know what I'm saying? There was truly a glass ceiling that our grandparents had. Like, my grandfather, you know, he didn't have a high school education. Like, they were sharecroppers. They had to work. It was rough. Black people really had it hard, so we really have no excuse. And you have some of the weakest mentality in black people I've ever seen. We are so weak. We can't take nothing. And black people, just generations before us, were really getting their ass kicked. First fire, last hire. That was their daily reality. So, like, when we talk about race, to me, we have zero excuses, but we do have a handout mentality.
In many ways, you are right, because with everyone coming up all different excuses and saying that we're not getting economic opportunities, we don't even support the ones that we generate in our own community.
Right.
We had this complete civil war amongst ourselves, outside of the, you know, usual conflicts we run with different races. The worst one is between ourselves. There's no one you can go back and get support from like we used to back then. Now it's just every man and woman and child for themselves. So now you're just walking around wondering who's going to screw me over first, especially your own. So, of course, you're going to see this stagnant progress in the community. Actually, it's not stagnant, it's like eroding little by little. We're the biggest spenders worldwide, and we don't have shit to show for it.
Right.
We run out of
right.
And then when you take out discipline and shame and morals and like actual training that we used to have that seems to be prehistoric nowadays, you get what you get nowadays. You take discipline at the home, you basically say they have you allow the state to say that anytime you seek to correct your children, and now you want to buy your children and make them your friend, you already have entities that are looking from the third grade on up to measure your child for a sale or some kind of thing that they can make money off of our irresponsibility and our refusal to be parents. When you have parents going out and chasing their childhood, you're leaving the oldest child to take care of the other children and sacrifice their childhood, which adds more dysfunctional to the house. There's a whole layer, there's multiple layers of this complete clusterfuck we have in our community. Until we clean that shit up, we're not going to see any progress. We're just not.
So true, man.
A lot of people are agreeing with you guys in the chat room. Jamal disagreed on a few points, but I'm waiting for him to say what he disagreed on. So I had somebody, I want you to stay on the line because you're making a lot of really good points. I'm going to go ahead and let somebody in from 718. I'm going to see if they want to join in the conversation real quick here. So 718, oh, looks like they just hung up, so maybe they didn't want to join in the conversation. But it's cool. But, it was a lot of good topics that we hit on tonight. You know, a lot of good things that are going on. And you're right about what you were saying about this generation basically not knowing what racism is. And I think that comes very true when it comes to that whole Nicki Minaj situation. I don't know if you heard about that. when she said that Steven Tyler was racist for his comment. If you think that that's what racism is, then I feel like she needs to get her head examined. You know, there are people who have really dealt with racism. There are people who get called racist names on a daily basis, like I do on YouTube. You know, so it's just funny that because he basically does not like her judging on American Idol, that makes him a racist. It's like, I'm just kind of tired of Nikki. I'm over the whole little thing. You know, but what you were saying made a lot of sense when you were saying a lot of people, a lot of our generation, they don't understand the struggles that the previous generation went through and how they had to deal with true racism. What Nicki Minaj dealt with on Twitter, on her little Twitter rant, was not racism at all. So what did you guys think about her whole little situation pulling out the race card, the racism card?
It's bullshit.
Straight to the point, bullshit.
Okay, the whole thing, personally, if someone disagrees with your style or actually your judgment, that is not racism. Racism is like the power to promote your prejudice, either using the laws or legislation and things like that. All he did was call it what it was. She's about as talented as a pet rock. She has the fucking audacity to get mad because someone called her out on her bullshit. You know, she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about, you. That's my opinion.
I don't like her. I don't like her. I really don't. Like, whenever I hear her little annoying voice on the radio, I immediately change the station. I feel like the things that she represents degrade herself. Like, I think she degrades herself. Like, and I just, the things that I have seen out of her, like, recently have all been annoying. And, like, when I saw her getting into that fight with Mariah Carey and how, like, aggressive she was and, like, trying to fight, like, she off the street. And, like, come on, girl, mature. Just try to have a little bit of class. Like, first of all, you have a white man saying something to a black woman. That makes it racist. Like, people of different races can't disagree now because now it's all racist. Like, that was so weak.
Right.
That was
and
so
And you know
weak.
What I found funny? This is what a lot of people were commenting on the video that I made about it, is that she has disrespected more black people than anybody.
Right.
She's made comments saying that black women look like monkeys, nappy-headed hoes, get a Permanator. You know, she has, you know, talked about poor people, talking about these poor people fucking up the economy. That's why she's going for Mitt Romney. She said a lot of negative stuff in her raps towards black women. You know, so I find it funny that she's so quick to scream out racism, but she says a lot of racist shit. And the fact that she doesn't even embrace her black features, she gets the side eye from me all day, every day. You're a black woman, you know, out here with pink and blue and purple wigs, you know, green, blue contacts, you know, bright pink lipstick. Every
no
time
job.
I see you, you're 4 shades lighter, you know, so it's just, it's crazy. Your body isn't real, you know. She's a trip. I don't understand the factuation that people have with this lady.
Like, how somebody can factually tell me how to keep it real? You're full of shit. I'm saying it straight up. You are full of shit.
It bothers me that she's even on American Idol. Like, I think it's a joke, all that has been going on. Honestly, I don't think Jennifer Lopez should have been on there because, to me, she's not a singer.
No.
And that
never was.
You know, I mean, I don't want to hate. I mean, she has had some projects, you know, that have been successful. And so she is an entertainer. But Nicki Minaj, I'm struggling to find, like, what makes her able to judge somebody else's talent. Like, I'm struggling on that one, to be honest. So Mariah Carey, she should be on American Idol.
Yeah, but
for real. Like, she deserves to be there.
But
right.
The whole thing, Nicki Minaj on the American Idol where people have actual talent, she judges them, that is the running joke.
Right.
That's what
it's true, and she doesn't realize, you know, why she's screaming talking about Steven Tyler's racist. You know, he put out one of the best songs in the 80s, you know, with Run DMC, Walk This Way. He's one of the first rock groups to collab with a hip-hop artist. He basically helped Run DMC get that crossover appeal. Because before then, white people weren't really checking for rap. They weren't checking for Run DMC. But once Aerosmith kind of, you know, did that collaboration with them, that made them even more popular. That made them even more well-known. So she needs to pay homage, if anything. you know, he's basically telling them, like, yo, this show is not about you and Mariah beefing and bickering. This show is about these kids who done traveled for miles, who done put their heart and their emotions on the line. You need to take this job seriously. You know, so for her to get offended by that, she's a joke.
Just to sit there and say that's racist, and then you've been a problem ever since you came on the show, even before you came on the show. That's that whole crying wolf type of tactic. So when someone disagrees with what you say, which is bullshit on principle, I mean, then you're going to call someone racist. That's really fucked up. It is.
Right, because it makes it wrong for when people really do go through racism. You know, and that's what I noticed that a lot of white people were writing in, like, the blogs and stuff, like, oh, these black people always screaming out racism. Mm-hmm. There they go with the race card. And I understand people's frustration. Because it's like, you know, real racism is what happened to that boy who got shot because his music was too loud. That's racism. Steven Tyler saying that you don't know, you know, like that you wouldn't pick Bobby Dylan if he came through American Idol, you would send him back to the cornfield. That's not racism. You can't even compare the two. So when you see racism for every little single piece of nonsense, that makes people just start to be like, you know what, this isn't really racism. These people are just crazy. They just want a reason to bitch and whine and complain. You know, so when it is something legitimate, no one is going to care.
And to me, even like legitimate situations like with Trayvon Martin and this kid here, I do believe that race was a major factor. I wouldn't discount that at all, like for one moment. But if he walked by that car and yelled nigger and kept going, it would not have mattered. What matters is that he killed that boy. And so...
Right.
What I get irritated with is when people turn situations that may have been influenced by race and just make it all about race. Let's talk about the fact that this boy is dead. That's what matters, because I'm sure he would have been okay if the dude called him a nigger or, you know, was rude to him because he was black. We can survive that. We have survived that.
That's true.
But yeah, Nikki, I don't have any respect for her. I just really don't. And the more she says, the less respect I have. Like, if you don't like somebody, then fine. If you don't like what they say, fine. But that's like her reaction to me is just extremely immature. Like, she needs to grow up.
Yeah, well, a lot of these celebrities, they all have issues and they all need to grow up. They definitely need to stop for Twitter. Chris Brown is another one.
Oh my God.
He needs to have several seats. You know, him and that lady going back and forth. And I don't know if you got a chance to check out that story around in with Chris Brown closing down his Twitter account, because his comedian had been harassing him for like the past year or so. Rihanna found all these old tweets. And it's like, you know, the thing that kills me with these celebrities, you know, and I can admit I've been guilty of it, but I learned to check myself, because people do it. That's human nature. You can get 1,000 good comments. Like, oh, gee, I love your video. You're so nice and da-da-da. And then you get that one comment like, shut up, you fat bitch. Get off of YouTube. And that's the one that you pounce on. You get what I'm saying? So when I would get stuff like that, I'm ready. Like, you know, Effie, you don't know me. I had to realize that's not life. You can't, you know, it's the computer. People are going to have their opinions. It is what it is. And I think that's what a lot of these celebrities need to realize. Like, yo, everybody's not going to like you. You know, people will always look at you as a spousal abuser. But you can't jump the gun every time somebody says something they don't like. So instead of responding to the negativity, respond to all those fans who sit there and jock you 24/7. Why not retweet them? Why not, you know, spend as much time speaking to them as you do addressing the haters? So I feel like a lot of these celebrities, they just love the drama. Because while Nikki went on that rant about Steven, she really could have just, you know, sat there and talked to her fans who really do have love for her.
Hey, Keith, well, you have to look at something, though. It's like, on the other side of that, you all of us have our own breaking point. Because I'm pretty sure for yourself and even lady on the line, and everyone in the chat room, there's an individual, like, yes, you get, like, people say, yes, you're doing a great job, and you'll have a few assholes who will continue to irk and get on your nerves. And then it comes a point, like, you know what, I might have to address this, otherwise this is going to keep continuing. So, you know, I look at it, you know, that way, where this chick went on a whole year getting on his nerves. I've experienced that on Facebook. So, you know,
we got 10 seconds left.
Oh, yeah.
This was a really good show. I wish we had more time. We've been on for 90 minutes. We have 10 seconds left. So we're going to get ready to go. But I know what you're saying, Rona, and I definitely agree with you about the breaking point. So you guys tune in next week to Table Talk with T. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.